America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Pete Alonso, Juan Soto, Santander, Alex Bregman, Sean Manaea. These are all the names we're going to be talking about. Ugh. Walker Buehler. I really do believe that, unfortunately, Pete Alonso is not going to be a Met any longer.
Then he's going to be a Yankee.
He may be.
He's going to be. If Juan Soto is in right field for the Mets, Pete Alonso is on first base for the Yankees. I'm telling you. I floated this to, I think, C-Mac, you know, the leader of the Yankee clubhouse around here.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And I said, look, you want to spend $600 million on Juan Soto, fine. Great player. Deserves it. If he can get it, he's a free agent. He's turned down many mega deals, and this is his moment in the sun to get a 15-year deal, I guess. Oh, sounds like that's what Boris wants, which is nuts to me. Anyway, do you want to spend that $600 million on that guy for 15 years, or would you like to do like a five-year deal with Bregman at third base? He's 30 years old. Alonso at first base. He's 30 years old. And Santander, who I believe is 30 years old as well. And you could do five-year deals with all of those guys.
Yeah.
So that means you got three guys playing three positions. And you got one guy's going to hit you at least 50 home runs. You might have two guys in the lineup hitting you 50 home runs.
You might. Or you might have a depreciating Pete Alonso.
Yeah, but now all of a sudden, he's got protection.
I mean,
you love protection in the lineup.
You got protection in the lineup. It's a big thing, man.
Yeah.
Huge thing.
I know he's not a contact hitter, but man, I'll tell you what, you got three home run hitters back to back to back.
So
belly
I'm
to
assuming,
belly to belly.
I'm assuming that C-Mac, because I heard him driving in, I'm assuming that C-Mac said no, he would rather have Juan Soto, because I heard him tell a caller that, you know, just because you're spreading out that money doesn't mean that it's a smarter move than to go get the best player that is out there and available in Juan Soto.
Like, that's this exactly is the guy, what he said.
Right. This is the guy that you want to go get. I will say, though, that after the way that the World Series ended and the Yankee fan being sickened, let's put our Yankee fan shoes on for a second, all right?
Okay, yes.
If they lose Juan Soto to the Mets,
they got to get somebody.
And their answer is to bring in Pete Alonso, who is a Met that they have made fun of for I don't know how long, a polar bear, the guy's a doofus, he's not that good, he only cares about his home run derby.
Who
I don't know how
that?
Many Yankee fans. Every Yankee fan I know.
Yeah, but they'll love him. They'll
hold
love
on,
him.
Wait, put your Yankee fan shoes on for a second.
I'm not a Yankee
and
fan.
And they're bringing in Pete Alonso to replace Juan Soto and Alex Bregman, who was on the hated Houston Astros that you couldn't stand for the longest time.
Get over it.
That's going to be your offseason. The Yankee fan will be sick.
And Anthony Santander.
Who's an Oreo? You're going to get three of them? Probably not.
Yeah,
going to
get three of them. I mean, are you going to spend $600 million on one guy? Or are you going to spend like $400 million on three guys?
I'm just telling you that a Yankee fan was, not like that at all.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying you got to have a fallback position. Because you got to sit here and tell me that Boris wants a 15-year deal for Juan Soto. So
you
could just go scratch, man. I'm sorry.
Go scratch your ass.
I think he's I don't know. I mean, he's a hitter. He's an okay fielder,
right? What were you you were reading me like a
market values on SpotTrack market values?
Yeah, that was off the air. Do you have what it has there for Juan Soto's market
value? Yeah, I do.
Okay,
would you like to have the SpotTrack? And they compare him to other players that are free agents, you know, and that gives you kind of like a sense of what it would be minimal.
This is like when you look at your house on Zillow to see what it's worth.
The Zestimate.
Right. This is what it is. So 14 years, $513 million, $36 million per year is the SpotTrack market value number for Juan Soto. And we all know, according to you at least, because I sit next to you every day, that this is going to be bigger than this.
That's what is being reported.
Okay.
And that it could be $14 million a year more at the very least per season than that.
So now, you're saying 14 years at 50 million a year.
15 years at 50 million a year.
Forget it.
I'm telling you, that's what it's going to at least start there.
Well, somebody will probably go there. I'm just saying, I'm not. That's all. And I think you got to, you know, if you're the Yankees, you got to find out whether or not you can do this and whether you want to do it. Because if you don't, if you can't do it, you can't be strung along. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
And you can't be used as the lever to be used against some other team. You got to figure out, do you want to be here or not? Here's what we're going to do for you. This is what we'd like to do for you. If this is not good enough, maybe we'll go an extra couple million a year, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, can you see that headline? Juan Soto gets 15 years. $750 million.
And the comparable players that they compare him to and his numbers and everything else, obviously, are Anthony Rendon, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, and Francisco Lindor. Those are the four players that SpotTrack is using as a market value judge or gauge to figure out what somebody's going to pay. But you and I both know we think it's going to be more than that, significantly more than that.
If it was that, I would sign me up in 2 seconds for $36.7 million per year for Juan Soto.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be incredible, but it's just not gonna be that. Let's go to Kevin in Connecticut. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my phone call. So I had a question. If we lose Soto, then that frees up money. And would that give us enough money to then go after Bregman, move Jazz to second, get rid of Torres, and maybe bring up Dominguez in left and get rid of Verdugo?
Yeah, I mean, that I think is one of the common plans that's been floated out there, Kevin. If you lose Soto, is that Jazz would certainly move to second base and Bregman would be an option there at third. I don't think Verdugo is going to...
Would you like the market value for Bregman?
Yeah, I just saw it because big numbers on your screen. But yeah, go for it.
$30 million per.
$30
million. And it's looking like 4 years, $120 million. And he is compared to Manny Machado, Chris Taylor, Matt Chapman.
He's a great defensive player. We know that. He's someone who is gritty.
Got to have a gritty player, man.
But, I mean,
he may not want to come to the Yankees anyway. He might want to just stay in Houston. No state tax. They're going to pay him that much money anyway. So they'll float him out there a little bit. But I would think he would prefer to stay with the Astros.
I mean, this is also not... I mean, we're talking about a significant... The Alex Bregman of 2018 and 2019 is not the Alex Bregman of today. And it's
He's still a solid baseball player.
No, he is.
He's an all-star.
He wasn't last year, but yeah. I mean, $30 million. See, these are the type of guys... I really want to know now with this offseason that David Stern's going to spend money. How does he look at these guys? How does he look at the 30-year-old that is not producing like he was a few years ago?
I think you saw last year with the way that he went about building a pitching staff and went about the way of trying to formulate a bullpen And then, you know, trying to figure out whether or not the guys that were left behind, that he could actually get them to play better and get to the playoffs, which ultimately worked out for him.
Yeah, I mean, and that the pitchers are different, too. I mean, I think that, of course, you want young players no matter where they are. But, I mean, I think it's more about that regular, everyday player that gets into his 30s, like the way that the NFL general managers look at the running backs. Like, how long are you going to pay those guys? How much are you going to pay those guys?
I got a guy for you.
You got a guy?
How about Teoscar Hernandez?
Yeah, I know he's going to be a free agent, yeah. Obviously.
And how about him?
His regular season numbers. See, I mean, I saw him mostly. I didn't watch a lot of Dodgers baseball.
You didn't watch him when he was up at the...
he was at the Blue Jays for a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
But the, you know, he's been with the Dodgers now for a couple of years, right? So, yeah, I don't know. It's all going to be... You know, but these questions will be answered is when I find out that Juan Soto is or is not a Met.
Okay.
Then I'll be like, okay, let's get this guy, get that guy, get
so
this guy.
So I heard that somebody this morning was talking about the Tampa Bay Rays are involved. I guess he's going to be worth more than the team now?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Are they going to give him a piece of the team? I guess they're
the
moving...
the dumbest thing ever.
They're also moving into a new stadium, right?
It's the dumbest thing ever. I actually think that that stuff gets floated out there, so the few fans that are Rays fans are like, oh, you know, maybe they'll get duped. Look, they're trying. Oh, they contacted Soto. Maybe they're trying to do something.
Be like when the Rangers signed Alex Rodriguez. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but the Rangers, I mean, that's a big market down there.
Yeah,
you know?
Right now it is. How about when they signed him? Remember how long ago that was?
Yeah, but it was still a large... I mean, that what is that
Dallas
area? I mean, that's a top, like it's a top five media market, isn't it?
I would think so. And they were going into a new stadium at the time, I think.
Yeah, so I mean that's totally different than the Rays.
Well, the Rays are going to go into a new stadium.
Okay, but they're known for their frugality. That's what they are. It's the stupidest story in the world. He's not going to sniff that place.
So who are the other six teams then? Yankees, Mets, Dodgers.
Giants. Padres.
Padres, that's five. One more?
Blue Jays,
six.
Phillies? No?
I don't think so.
Why not?
That's a lot of do-re-mi, man.
Of course it is.
I mean, if you're sitting here telling me that he's going to get $50 million a year...
I'm only reacting to what the reports are. I'm not telling you anything. I have no friggin' clue what he's going to end up getting. I'm just reading that it sounds like to me that that's going to be a starting point. It may be.
I mean, the Yankees already have Cole, Judge, and Stanton. Right? And then they're wasting $18 million on Stroman.
I'm happy.
They're going to get rid of Glaber. Glaber's gone.
Yep.
Verdugo's going to be gone, most likely. Rizzo's gone. You know, they'll have some money, but the question that Brian Cashman's got to ask himself, is that guy out in right field going to make us a better team significantly if I can't add other aspects to our team?
Yeah, unless it's some sort of deferment situation like they did with Ohtani and freed up some money where it comes to the luxury tax. I don't know how they... I mean, that changed the way that we have to look at contracts forever. The fact that they pulled that off in the way that they did. So I'm sure that's going to be a template for others, especially in high tax states, right?
You would think so, but the Dodgers still had a 240 payroll tax.
Right, but they were able to finagle.
They made it better for Ohtani. They made it better for Ohtani. It's basically what happened because of the 14.2 income tax out there in California.
Right, but the number, if you were just to take his years and the money,
okay,
that number per year was less because of the deferments. It was still up there. I think it was still significant, but it wasn't what it fully would have been if they just paid him normally, like whatever it was. $50 million a year, whatever he ended up getting. So, I mean, that's another way to kind of mess around with the luxury tax.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
We're going to find out about, you know, who the Knicks really are. I mean, it's going to take a while. I'm going to give them until December 1st.
Before you start freaking out?
Before I start really making a true determination as to, does the Karl Anthony Towns thing work? Are they really missing DiVincenzo and Julius Randle? Yeah. I mean, right now it's just, it's up and down. Jalen Brunson's not happy with the way he's playing. Mikal Bridges comes and goes. I mean, so there's got to be a lot more consistency with this team. And I got to wait until I see 20 games, a quarter of the season, and then I can make a determination. And hopefully by that time, Precious Achiuwa is back.
Yes, to save the day.
Yes.
Yeah, usually it's around Christmas that I think most people are taking stock with the NBA season. And, of course, there's always a big schedule on Christmas with the NBA that the NFL is now stealing away from them and getting better ratings. But I guess right now when you're watching these games, neither one of us are freaking out, but I think the question is, are these real problems that could fester? So what has ailed them so far? One, I think it's depth. I feel like we talk so much about Tom Thibodeau, you know, grinding his starters out.
He's only playing eight guys a game, pretty much.
I mean, even more so now, I feel like their depth is an issue, and Deuce McBride, who is someone you count on to come in and hit threes and be offense off the bench, has not been able to do that most of the season. So is that something that's going to continue? I think also just Jalen Brunson was the focal point, no matter who else was on the court. When Julius Randle came back healthy, it was still Jalen Brunson. When OG Anunoby came, it was still Jalen Brunson. And now for the first time seeing, because Karl-Anthony Towns is there and he's a big superstar and he's a giant man and he's 33 and 18 and everything else, that Jalen Brunson is like, am I still supposed to be the man?
Yeah. And yeah, he will. He's just trying to figure it all out, man. That's all.
So, you know, that could be a bit of an issue. And the rebound, it kind of sucks right now, which is really, really frustrating.
Well, it should be better with the guys that they have out there. But I think the reason he's playing these guys a lot more than I think maybe normally, number one, obviously there are a couple injuries, and Mitchell Robinson and Precious Achiuwa being two of those injuries. But I also think he wants them to get used to playing with each other. And I think that's a real thing right now. You literally have two new guys starting in the starting five, and essentially you have five guys that have barely played together.
Yeah.
As a unit. So I'm not so sure that things aren't going to change around Christmas time, and maybe there'll be different guys coming off the bench by the time we get there. But I just think that this is a very talented group of guys that we're all trying to figure out how we're going to fit in and who's the team, who's running the team, who's the faces. And we all know it's Jalen Brunson. And I think Karl-Anthony Towns also knows that and is trying to be respectful as well. So I am not totally I would say I'm a little disappointed, but I'm not overly alarmed. How's that sound?
No, of course, and you shouldn't be. And I mean, anybody that is someone who's probably just freaks out over everything in the world. But also another thing I want to add to, is this a real problem or not, is Mikal Bridges and his shot.
He's had a couple good games.
I know, but it's been inconsistent, and it's weird, and like changing his shooting motion, and just like, I mean, that's a little bit of an odd one to me. Like, in going and getting him, you know, that was such a big deal prior to the Towns trade, and getting a guy in his prime and what he was doing in Brooklyn and putting him with his old buddies, and he was going to be a superstar. And so far, it's just been super inconsistent. So it happened so quick. The Karl-Anthony Towns trade happened late into the offseason. It was basically like he showed up and there was media day, and then there's preseason the next day. So definitely give him some time, but... You know, you would want, just like everybody would, the Cleveland Cavaliers start, not the Knicks start right now.
That's right. Well, yeah, and when you take a look at their schedule now over, and I know CBS Sports Network put it up for people to see, but on the schedule now comes a lot of Eastern Conference games. You got Milwaukee, Indiana, Philadelphia, Chicago, Brooklyn twice, and Washington. So, I mean, you know, those are games where you're going to find out exactly who you are. You know, when you go to Indiana and you blasted them in your home opener a couple of weeks back, and now you got to go there. You'll find out who you are. I mean, the Nets are I don't know. But how do you want to describe what they're doing? Spunky?
You know what? The Nets are either...
I give them credit.
The Nets over the last number of years are either, like, spunky or pure disaster. Like, prior to the whole Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving thing with Kenny Atkinson, they were, like, just spunky and fun. You know, like, oh, a little spunk... Fun team.
Spunk fun.
Little spunky fun team.
Yeah.
And then, of course, these guys come over. It's a total mess, and it's a joke and everything else. And now they're back to being young and fun with low expectations and nothing to lose.
I'll tell you, those two games are back-to-back, by the way, against the Nets the 15th and 17th of November. They better win those games.
Both of them.
Those are games that they have to, you know, they have to dominate, and they have to play defense, and they have to rebound. And they got to turn into the tough Knicks. They got to beat. I want to see the team that we saw last year, when OG got here and all of a sudden was playing defense, was scoring, keep up buckets at the right time. And I mean, I'm playing tough. Now this goes back to this whole thing about Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, and Pat Beverly and some of the things that have been said about him. Cat bogus, man. He bogus. And him being soft and some of these other things. And plus, you know, you lost two guys that there is no doubt about it that are just really, really hard to replace their toughness and their personality and their grit on the court. And Dante DiVincenzo is one, and Isaiah Hartenstein was the other. And like, it's hard to find guys like that. Now, the NBA is a star-driven league. You got to win championship with stars, and they took a big shot with Karl-Anthony Towns. But, you know, there was grit that went out the door. There's no two, and even Julius Randle went out the door. That's grit.
Now, that's three gritty players. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. And, you know, you got to have grit, man.
Got to have grit.
That's why I love this show. I love this show because I feel like we're gritty. I feel like we have five gritty guys, especially Jerry. Like, Jerry's the grittiest of you guys.
You really think he's the grittiest?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, if I had to rank the grittiest on this show, he would be first. I would be second.
Wow, okay.
And the only reason I'm not higher than he is because now he has overtaken me with the amount of jobs that he has.
That is true.
Right, so I have basically two jobs, I think. Maybe just one, really. No, I got two.
Well, so Game Time being the other?
Yeah, I guess so. You could, okay. You know, it's a part-timer, but it is 45 episodes.
What? Kickoff? Well, that's part of this job, right?
What is that? Kickoff is part of this. That's part of this job. That's radio.
Same company, same paycheck. Yeah. You know, one of those things.
I mean, I still do run the foundation, so that's another part of it. That's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, in terms of grittiness and getting on the road and coming back here and being a part of this group,
yeah,
it's got to be Jerry. It's got to be.
Yeah. Yes. And he's doing things that very unhealthy.
Wouldn't you, like, describe Jerry... The perfect word to describe Jerry, and every team needs one of these guys, is a grinder.
Yeah, he's definitely a grinder.
He's a grinder now.
There's no two ways about it. He's grinding when we're off in the summer. He's here grinding. We're not grinding.
That guy grinds every day of his life.
And then in the fall, he's grinding. And then in the winter, he continues to grind.
He's doing a basketball game tonight. He's got a football game this week.
We had a basketball game last night, didn't
he? Oh, it was the last night?
Yeah.
It was last night. Okay. Yeah. So he did one last night.
Mm-hmm.
He's here today.
Yeah.
He's got football this week. He's got mm-hmm. Tampa Bay and San Francisco.
Right.
He's going to be back here.
And then I believe a game Monday night. So Sunday football, Monday show, Monday night basketball.
That's a grinder.
Grinder.
And that's grittiness. And that's what you need. And that's going back to the Knicks. Like, I don't necessarily know that Carl Anthony Towns right now has really sharpened his elbows.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people believe that those elbows can be sharpened.
We've got to sharpen those elbows up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we always
start throwing that big body around.
You know, I said it back when the trade was made, and the Knicks culture and the grit that we're talking about and all these things that made the Knicks a team that we loved last year, that Karl Anthony Towns is going to have to assimilate to that. And to use a phrase from one of our favorite places in New Jersey, you either fit in or F off.
That's exactly right.
And just hasn't quite happened yet.
Fiofo.
Hasn't quite happened yet. But, yeah, listen, we were all, part of us, even if you love the trade, was worried about that. The fact that is Karl Anthony Towns, is he the guy that puts this team that got as far as they did and had us believe that they could actually compete for a championship? Does he put them over the top, or because of his personality and some of the things that people say about him, do you take a step back?
Or, you know, like right now, this is not the best of Jalen Brunson that we're watching.
No,
I mean, he's not big, right? And by the way, he
3 points in the fourth quarter.
But he always owns up to it after a game when he's not happy. There were a number of times last year where he just had an off night and basically put the loss on his shoulders. I just think they're trying to figure it all out and just trying to get a sense of playing with each other. And that's probably one of the reasons why I would think that Tibbs is trying to get them, you know, up to speed. And I don't see panic in him. I don't hear panic from him just yet. But they're certainly going to be on this 10-game run right now where I think, you know, if I had to think about what they need to do in this 10-game run, I think you got to be at least 7-3.
Oh, we got you going 7-3, huh? 7 out of 10?
I think they got to
start. What happens if they don't get to 7-10? You fold up shop, you come back next year?
No, you can't do that. You got to start sharpening the elbows, practicing a little bit harder, pushing the envelope, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What's the consequence?
The consequence is, you know, well, hopefully the coach doesn't get fired. Don't want that.
I don't want that
to happen.
No. It's way too early for all this. We understand that.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Giants lose again. They are 2-7. They go to Germany to play the Carolina Panthers. And losing to the Panthers is a very bad thing, but if you're looking to be in the top two or three in the draft, losing to the Carolina Panthers couldn't be a bad thing. But it's one of those deals where if you're Brian Daboll, of course you want to win the game. You want to show John Mara that you got this thing. You can keep it on track. It's not going to go completely off the rails. It's not going to be a three-win season for them. But in reality, a three-win season for them might put them in a better chance to be successful in the future. Now, I understand that there's no guarantee, but every example that you can give of a franchise that drafts high and takes a quarterback and fails, I could give you so far this year where three guys look pretty good, and the Giants were right there on the outside looking in. So you don't know. You just want to put yourself in a good position to draft those guys, but they are, of course, in a spot now where, I mean, I can't even imagine. Like the people, this is a good question that Al asked this morning on the Warm Show. Do the people in Germany know what type of turd football is going out there this week? Like, do they have any idea how bad these two teams are that they're getting?
Two bad teams could lead to a high-scoring game, which is all they really care about. I would think they want an entertaining game. I would imagine that the Giants are probably favored by a touchdown, I bet you.
Let's take a look at that. Would you bet me? Yeah, I would probably say somewhere in there. But after this win for the Panthers, maybe it won't be a full touchdown. I have not looked at the spreads yet for the week. Not quite ready for that, but here we go. And 5.5. Giants 5.5.
Well, there you have it. I mean, look, the Giants are the better team. But, you know, we've seen other better teams lose games. We've seen the Jets lose to the Patriots, which is ultimately, I believe, is going to end up costing them the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was the game that they had to win. They had to win that game. They would have been on a two-game winning streak. It would have, you know, the 10 days off before you play the Cardinals next week in Arizona. It would have gotten you an opportunity to get the 6-5 by the bye as opposed to 5-6. And this Arizona game is not going to be easy. Because the Jets cannot, I mean, they just can't stop the run.
What do you think the spread in that game is?
I bet you the Jets are favored by 1.5 points.
It's actually the opposite. The Cardinals are favored by 1.5.
Yeah.
Cardinals minus 1.5. You know, just to go back to a conversation we had, was the point of this season just to make the playoffs? Because at this point, that's what it's turned into. For the Jets. Like, that's what it's turned into, is just to make the playoffs. Because they're not going to be able to compete with a team like the Baltimore Ravens or the Kansas City Chiefs. There's just no way.
They would have to. They're probably, if they make it to the playoffs, which is, like we see, a lot of things can happen. The Colts lost yesterday. The Broncos lost yesterday, so teams will end up coming back towards them as long as they continue to keep winning. If they make it, they're most likely going to make it as the 7th seed, meaning that they will end up playing the number 2 seed. And the number 2 seed is most likely either going to be, I would think, they could play Houston again, they could play Pittsburgh again, or they may end up playing Baltimore. Because I don't think anybody's overtaking
Buffalo, maybe.
Maybe Buffalo. Nobody's overtaking Kansas City.
Yeah. So, that's the point. It's like Aaron Rodgers didn't come here just to, like, squeak into the playoffs and lose.
Well, the point is get to the playoffs and then anything can happen. That's the point. If you can hold on to hope. I don't even want to think about those until I see where the team is at the bye now. Because I felt like their pathway to the playoffs was 6-5 at the bye.
Yeah, and the best they could do now is 5-6.
Which meant that they beat the Patriots, you know, and they of course, you know, beat the Houston Texans, and then they have the 10-day period where they're off, they get a little bit healthier, and then they play the also-ran kind of Cardinals who have now won 2 in a row.
Yeah, which is a shocker. They're one of those real surprise teams in the NFL. So it'll be a huge game for the Jets, and maybe, who knows, if they're playing great football at the end of the year, it could surprise whatever. I just don't It's just like if they do squeak in as the seventh seed and then get whacked, I mean, is it going to be celebrated because they came back from the dead and made the playoffs and they're going to give it another run? Like that's that, and I don't even think they even get in that position. But if they do, that'll be it'd be an interesting way to evaluate it. Like, are you evaluating it like, man, like, look at this. There's a lot of real positive momentum made into the playoffs. Maybe we got the right mix now, finally. But, you know, but then again, we can't compete with the top of the AFC. What the hell do we do?
Right. I was thinking about this Thursday night's game between the Bengals and the Ravens. Like, if you're the Jets, I think you want the Ravens to win. You know, I think you need the Bengals to continue to lose. You know, and the Bengals end up waxing, you know, the Raiders yesterday, and the Raiders are firing people now in the middle of the season, which usually doesn't bode well for the guys that are remaining behind them, meaning that they'll be shown the door this offseason. And a lot of, you know, this is where maybe Bill Belichick comes in. Like, there are going to be a lot of teams, I think, that will definitely interview him and may want him, and I think he's probably got a skeleton coaching staff ready to go right now.
Skeleton coaching staff. Didn't Mike McCarthy? Mike McCarthy had a skeleton coaching staff after he got fired with Green
Bay.
Remember
he was meeting in the offseason with his coaches and stuff when he did not have a job?
That is correct. That spread, by the way, is Ravens -6.5.
I bet you, I would think that Steve Spagnuolo is probably going to get a job somewhere. I would think that Ben Johnson's going to get a job somewhere, the offense coordinator from the Lions, but it's going to be a job that he's going to want. It's not going to be like he's not going somewhere where they're starting from scratch. Like he already turned down Carolina once.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be a guy if I wouldn't be surprised if the Dallas Cowboys made a run at him. That'd be a tough job to turn down.
That would be a tough job. I would think that there's a very good chance that Jacksonville would go after him. And he would probably see Trevor Lawrence there, who's got a significantly losing record since he's taken over at Jacksonville. They spent a ton of money on free agency this year, and they're still losing.
Yeah. I mean, and that Shad Khan is, you know, the way he talked about his football team going into this year, there's just no way that Doug Peterson is going to be able to stick around. And they're thinking about trading guys. You've already seen that. Travis Etienne maybe going to other teams. So that team is completely dead. Let's go to Ron, who's down in Florida. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, good morning, guys. Like the show, get up every morning, turn you on.
Well, thanks, Ron. What do you got for us today?
I know you've been talking to some Giants this morning, and I've been a fan my whole life. I'm a lot older, all right? So give me some slack here. But I've seen worse teams. And I'm talking bad teams. We couldn't score. And we lost the identity of the Giants. It's always been defense, in my opinion. And it wasn't a quarterback who changed the team. It was a linebacker. So, I mean, I'm just bringing this up. It's a memory of mine. But I remember my first son was born. It was Thanksgiving. I was in the waiting room. And I'm watching the Giants play Detroit, and the game was terrible. Lawrence Taylor comes in the game, just takes it over, wins the game, actually wins a game on defense. And our defense is terrible. We've lost that. It's not the Giants. If we don't play defense, we don't win 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah, and yesterday, and Ron, thanks. I mean, and yesterday the defense was disappointing, especially in critical moments, end of the first half. We talked about it, but I mean, the defense has got some players on it this year. They've got a young secondary. Kayvon Thibodeau's been hurt, but Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns have been pretty good for them. But yeah, I mean, when the Giants win, I mean, we know it was the toughness of Eli Manning in big games, but it was also the fact that they got to the quarterback with 4 defensive linemen better than anybody in football did in those 2 years that they won the Super Bowl.
Steve Spagnuolo was their defensive coordinator.
Right. So that yeah, of course, I can't argue that, but I mean, any team that has success has got a good defense, you know? I mean, it's not just the Giants. You know, there's very rarely a team that wins a Super Bowl that's got a crap defense.
No, it's true. That's why I wonder about Baltimore, even though they just smoked the Broncos yesterday. I still worry about their pass defense and whether or not, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, they added Deontay Johnson. They didn't add an extra pass rusher. They didn't add a defensive back. Maybe they will before Tuesday's tomorrow's deadline. But they look like they're a team now that is saying we're going to have to outscore everybody we play, as opposed to being that Raven defensive kind of culture that we've had all those years.
Joe Kelly, we heard from him after the World Series. He is talking more. He was on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast.
This is the reliever for the Dodgers.
Correct, yes.
He was also spent many years with the Red Sox and hated the Yankees then, too.
And that's pretty obvious. Here he is talking about how the Yanks really weren't much of a challenge.
It was a fun series. I mean, they almost snagged a couple wins, you know what I mean? But, I mean, if it was like the NCAA, like basketball, baseball, hockey, or football, I mean, like, it was just a mismatch from the get-go.
And then he went on to say that they would have been like the eighth or ninth ranked team in the tournament. And he went on to say the Padres were better, the Mets were better, the Braves were better, and they didn't even get in. The Phillies were better. And then here he is, I guess.
He just torched the Yankees.
Well, and then here is he implying that the Yankees are a lazy baseball team.
You know, we have a lot of big superstars in our clubhouse, but the superstars also care and aren't lazy. And play hard. So that's the difference and the biggest separator.
Wow.
I mean, that's a tough thing to say. Like, well,
I don't know, man. You watch the way that Shohei Ohtani runs the bases. Ball gets hit over Soto's head. He's on third base.
Yeah, it's very comparable to Stanton.
Yeah, Yankees hit the ball over Mookie Betts' head, and Soto's standing on first base. That right there tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, listen, they're a better team. They play harder. I will agree with that. But I don't think that Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Juan Soto didn't try hard or didn't work hard or were like lazy guys.
I don't know. I mean, Soto hit that ball over Mookie Betts' head, and he's standing on first.
Yeah, that's one example.
Yeah, but that's the World Series.
Do you think that Juan Soto doesn't try hard? He's lazy and he doesn't try as hard as some of these other guys. It's hard to say that about Aaron Judge.
I mean, it was
Judge
Adventureland
either.
Out in right field.
That's not what I asked.
They got exposed like the Mets got exposed against the Royals in 2015. That's what I feel like. Remember the Royals would say, make them throw the ball, make Lucas Duda throw the ball, make him field the ball. We're going to steal bases. We're going to make them throw it around because we know at the end of the day, they can't do it.
There's a difference between a sloppy team and a team that's lazy. I think that there's a distinct difference there. I think it's a tough call in those guys. But even Giancarlo Stanton, who hit in the postseason,
he's lazy.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I feel like.
But is that on the manager or is that on the general manager who put the team together?
If you believe that they're lazy.
He's lazy.
I mean, I think that's on the players themselves.
It's amazing. The way we talk about this team, you'd think they didn't even qualify for the playoffs. They had a
cakewalk into the World Series. The
Guardians were... Listen, I agree with you. The Guardians were not up to the level of the Yankees. They're still a damn good team, though.
I'm not saying that they weren't. I'm just telling you. That's why I was so confident back in August that the Yankees were going to the World Series.
Were you as confident when you picked the Yankees in 7?
I felt like, you know what, I was really disappointed, much like Yankee fans, you know, that I know in my life were really disappointed with what they were watching.
Mets gave qualifying offers to Alonso, Manaea, and Severino. All right, the Knicks were in Houston last night, losing to the Rockets.
Green hesitation, Brunson stays with him nicely. Contested shot is up and good. What a tough shot from Jalen Green. Two Knicks around him. That's his second big three. And the Rockets now have an 8-point cushion with 57 seconds remaining.
And that was Mike Breen on MSG. Yes, Green finished with 15. Big shot there for sure. 109-97 was the final. Fred Van Vliet had 19, and Alperen Sengun had a team-high 25. 10 of those came in the fourth quarter. Also had 14 rebounds and 4 block shots. Interesting, Karl-Anthony Towns, 17 points, 19 rebounds, yet the Knicks were outscored in the paint 62-38.
He only shot two three-pointers, by the way.
How about
it was 0-for-2 in those with those three-pointers. It was like a frustrating game.
Knicks now 3-3, the Rockets 4-3. Meantime, at Barclays Center, the Nets beat the Grizzlies.
Cam Thomas working against LaRavia. Cam comes on a high screen. Back it out top. Finney Smith a three. Good for Dorian Finney Smith. Knicks take a 104-101 lead with 1:10 to go.
And that was Chris Carino.
Is Brooklyn in the house? I thought so.
On the fan. He had 17, snapped the 101-101 tie there. They would tack on another and win 106-104. Dennis Schroeder had 20. Cam Johnson had 20. The Nets now 4-4. The Grizzlies 4-4. as well. A couple of just notes from the league. The Cavaliers beat the Bucks 116-114. Darius Garland had 39. Cleveland is 8-0 to start the season. And the Clippers were trailing the Spurs after the first quarter 40-14. And they came back and beat San Antonio 113-104. I give you 11 seconds from the Mink Man as St. John's got started last night.
Here comes the inbounds pass. Davon Smith, the baseline far out of the corner for three. Richmond shoots and scores. Kadari Richmond has 16 points, and St. John's ahead 74-48.
And they beat up Fordham pretty good. 92.
Oh, shizzle.
92-60. Seton Hall beat St. Peter's 57-53. Wins for Princeton, Hofstra, Columbia. A lot of local teams played that lost as well. I think Monmouth lost to Michigan
State. When's your first game?
Wednesday against Wagner.
Wagner. Joey Waller still calling the Wagner games? It's going to be a WFAN reunion there?
I have no idea. That's a great question. I do not know.
You and Joey before the game exchanging a hug?
We'll take a photo if he's there.
He could sign microphones and like swap it like they do with the jerseys.
But no, I'm not doing that. I don't know though if he does road games though. That I don't know, so maybe. And then the Devils were in Edmonton last night. Have not heard from Matt Lachlan in a long, long time.
Mercer floats one in front. Here's Meyer cutting it backhand, scores! Oh, baby, Dawson Mercer did the work. Meyer with the finish, and the Devils lead 3-0.
So while you were sleeping, the Devils beat the Oilers 3-0.
That is a great win for them. How do you shut out Edmonton on their home ice?
They didn't allow a goal.
I think Jake Allen was the goalie last night.
31 saves, correct.
Wow.
Last night.
That is a great win for them.
Islanders Penguins coming up tonight.
The Sims, do it. He's about to do his Sims spotlight. And it's brought to you by Balance of Nature, whole food supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. I actually got a fresh box of Balance of Nature that was sitting on my desk this morning when I came in. So thank you for that, whoever was the driving force behind it. And I have a feeling it was probably Phil, who was the guy who did that. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Yes, that comes from me. I wanted you to stay healthy. I got to admit, Gio, you're looking better, man.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know what you're doing, but keep it up.
You know,
every Wednesday I wake up. I said, let me turn these two idiots on and see what the hell they're talking about. And I turn it on and I'm listening to Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp. And I thought I was tuning into a sports station.
Oh yeah. No, those two guys are sports guys. Yes. One's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, you should have actually heard the first 20 minutes of the show. You would have loved that too. By the way, Gio is glowing. He has been glowing. Mm. If you take a really good close look at his forehead.
Yeah, very shiny.
Very shiny forehead.
Yeah, those are my natural oils that come out when I take my Balance of Nature. Very, very
healthy.
Well,
that's a good thing, man. Yeah. You know, you don't want to dry up and all that stuff, Listen.
Hey, by the way, you going to Germany with the Giants this week?
By the way, I'm going to Germany tomorrow, yes.
Oh, you are? Okay, do you know any German? Like Alvitas or anything like that? No? Nothing?
No, of course not. I mean, come on. I had a hard enough time in English, much less learning German. But.
Yeah, you should learn how to say, this game sucks, because you're probably going to be saying that a lot over there.
Hey, I don't know. You know, it might be exciting. Let's be honest. Look, we got two teams that are struggling and everything else, and it's just, I really mean this. I think the game will be kind of emotional. In other words, Carolina winning a game, they feel like they're one of the best teams in the league now. You know, I'm being serious. Ah. And, you know, they're going to be, wow, we got confidence. We won the game. And I did hear you just say before I came on, Boomer, about, you know, the stats they had. I didn't realize. I watched the game. I didn't know New Orleans was putting up those kind of yards. But, man, New Orleans was awful, too. I mean, come on. 4th-and-3. Game on the line. Your man, Derek Carr, there he is at quarterback. Let's throw it 50 yards down the field on 4th-and-3, the last play of the game. And, of course, incomplete. We lose. Coach
Hey, Hart. It's not my man. I didn't want him here, and I'm glad the Jets didn't get him. I hope Aaron can turn this thing around. And speaking of the Jets, I mean, I know we talked about them last week against Houston. We didn't really know what to expect because they were on a short week. You know, they still obviously feel like there is a faint hope that they do have a path. I thought that path had to include a win at New England, and that did not happen. I guess if you're Aaron Rodgers, if you're you, if you're me, I mean, you got to show up and you got to believe that, you know, you still have a chance.
Yeah, this is a game you got to look at two things, I think, when you talk about the Jets. And, you know, I haven't given up as far as the fact that they could get on a run and get to the playoffs or get close, whatever. But, you know, going out there and playing Arizona, you talked about it. There's so, this is not the same team that we've watched in the last couple of years. Kyler Murray getting under center, running the football is what their team is about. They're, you know, they're very conservative on offense. So it's can the Jets' defense stop the run game? If they do that, that will be a huge reason why they'd have, a great chance to win the game.
All right, let's see here. Let's see if I can get this right. The Google Translate.
Dieses Spiel ist scheiße.
Yeah, right. What is
Dieses
that?
Spiel ist scheiße.
What does that mean?
You got that, Phil?
Dieses no, I can't understand it.
Dieses what's Spiel that? Ist scheiße.
And what's that mean?
This game sucks. I'm just
okay.
helping you out,
all right,
man.
Hey,
I'm just helping you out.
Listen,
right,
I got
game.
It.
Sorry.
But you'll be up early. You'll be up early
of
watching
course,
the game.
Because I have to. And if I didn't have to because we're talking about the next thing, I wouldn't be watching it. Because the two teams stink. And honestly, if the Giants lost the game, it would help them out, in my opinion, better down the road. And I'm not saying that the players are going to tank or whatever else. I just think that the Giants, after watching this past draft, by the way, and then being on the outside looking in with the three quarterbacks that were drafted.
And then seeing Jaden Daniels up close and personal twice now and have been beaten twice by them.
I want to see the Giants in a position to get one of those guys because they desperately need that energy in this organization.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Arizona's offense, but to hell with that right now. Geo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're looking at the draft this year coming, the quarterbacks. I'm going to start talking about them maybe even today.
Okay.
I'm going to look at some of them. But this is not the same draft class as last year. Unless the Giants, it's hard to say if you got the first, second, or third pick of the draft, which quarterback would you take out of college right now? Tell me, Gio.
Shedeur Sanders.
Okay, there you go. And that's probably the clear-cut number one as I just watch it on TV and everything like that. I haven't looked at him to see all the other stuff about him. But, yeah, he looks right now to be the safest pick at quarterback. The Shedeur Sanders, if the Giants do have that pick, does he want to come here, Boomer?
I don't think so. I think he wants to go to. I would think he'd want to go to Vegas. I believe that Vegas is going to have a new coach next year. They're going to start all over. And by the way, with Tom Brady owning a piece of the Vegas Raiders and having now influence, according to Mark Davis, within the Vegas Raiders and working out with Shedeur Sanders, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I do believe they will. Of course, they're looking at the quarterback market big time for next year. And look, they're firing everybody. They're getting rid of players. You know, their best player, Davante Adams, maybe one of their best, especially on offense. And, it's like we're going to do everything we can to keep losing so we can get the quarterback that we want. And that would probably most likely be Shedeur Sanders, no doubt.
You know, it's kind of interesting you say that they're going to keep losing. You and I both know this. We've been on some losing teams. We don't want to lose. The coach doesn't want to lose, for sure. They don't want that on their resume. But the team can do things, and the general manager can do things to influence games in a negative way. And right now, when I'm looking at the draft order, it's the Patriots, it's the Jaguars, it's the Saints, it's the Panthers, the Browns, then the Raiders.
Well, you got some teams in there that are definitely, when you just think of looking at New Orleans, they'll be in the quarterback market, probably trying to draft one or do something special to get their team back on track. So, boy, you're just saying a lot of things that tells me, and I think we realize the Giants are going to have a hard time. If it is the quarterback they want next year, they're going to have a hard time getting the one that everybody likes, that they like, that's the number one pick. So,
yeah,
I don't know what to do.
Right. So the thing about the Giants this week, this is a huge game that will have impact on the draft next year. We know that. If I'm a Giant fan, or I don't want my team losing.
No, right.
And I know that Tommy DeVito came in last year and got some wins that ended up costing them Jaden Daniels. That's like the practicality of the whole thing.
I understand all that, you know. Just look at Carolina. Like I said, they're dumping players right and left. And you know, the Giants, you go over there to play this game. Gio, you talked about it. Carolina's terrible. They got all this stuff they don't do. They're like an expansion team right now. They're getting rid of players, too, just trying to accumulate as many draft picks to reshape their football team. So, you know, you start talking about these quarterbacks right now coming out the draft. We need one, the New York Giants and all that. So it's so far down the road. But like I said, I am anxious because I get bored. You know, how many times am I going to watch some of these teams? But start to looking at these college quarterbacks and see these ones that are putting up, you know, the kid down at Miami is, you know, putting up great numbers.
Cam
Ward,
about
yeah. Cam Ward has been, you know, he's different. You know, I guess my first thought is I got to really watch him because the way he plays is so free and loose, and it's working out for him. But boy, I can't wait to watch it to see if that will translate to the NFL.
So. All right, I'm just going to ask you to speculate. I'm not going to hold you to it. I just need to hear you thinking out loud. Like when we normally talk together on the phone and you ask me questions and I give you answers and then I ask you questions and you give me answers. And, you know, usually your answers are pretty honest with me. So I just want you to speculate with an answer that's honest. Do the Cleveland Browns and Carolina Panthers start with new quarterbacks next year? And if they do, where do you think Deshaun Watson and Bryce Young end up falling?
Wow, that's a great question. I do think they'll try to get in the quarterback market and get their guy, another guy or whatever, to see if it can work for the teams. Yes, I heard you a little bit about Bryce Young, and I think a lot of that is true. I mean, I give him credit. He hangs in there, but you're right. He looks so small. And it's not like Kyler Murray is short, but he's a big man. And he can take the punishment and move it around. He's playing a different game out there in Arizona right now. So, which is, you know, as I watch him, I just go, wow, on both sides of the ball. And running the football under center, handing the ball off, doing play action passes, stuff that he's never done. But when you talk about those two teams, yes, Boomer, I 100% believe they'll be in the quarterback market looking for their franchise guy.
Do you think Kevin Stefanski is still the coach of the Browns next year?
Oh, man, you know, I don't want to get into firing guys and all that stuff, but it's going to be tough because the team is just falling apart. It's injuries. It's so many things. It's Deshaun Watson. Whatever happened to him physically, hey, that time he set out and everything changed, you know. And I just can't imagine being a quarterback in the NFL with all the crap that's thrown at you every single week and every avenue, fans, the media, the coaches, that you can overcome that with what has happened in your life. I marvel at it almost going, how is he doing this? And I know it's the money and he wants to play football, but there's no way. How can you clear your head enough to make it work on the field? And he didn't even resemble the guy we saw down in Houston playing for the Cleveland
Browns. Oh, God, yeah, you're right. I mean, no, man, he was brutal.
Bad decisions, never giving up on a play, never. And it was like he was angry the whole time, and he was playing that way. I like playing angry. There's a lot to that. But his was out of control. And
yeah.
Throwing the football, which he was a good thrower in Houston. I never saw that same guy throwing the football in Cleveland.
He looked totally unhappy. Like they bribed him to come there, gave him that stupid contract, and then he ended up going there and just actually falling flat on his face. Now he's going to cost the coach his job, and the front office should get blown up for that too as well. I mean, it's just such a bad decision making. All right, let me ask you this.
Let me say this about the Carolina Panthers. Look what they're doing. They are, like we said, they're getting rid of guys right and left because they're thinking about next year and reshaping the team. They're borderline an expansion team. When you look at some of their numbers, and I'm not a numbers guy. I'm really not. You're a stat pack guy. I'm not. I just kind of try to watch and get a feel for who they are.
Right.
But they're awful in so many areas on both sides of the ball. I mean, if you had to rank NFL teams just by numbers, they're last. And the only thing I say about the Giants playing this game, they're emotionally, the Giants have to get themselves up. Because I really do believe, as I watched that game, Carolina playing, and how emotional and fast they did play, because they want to win a damn game, and now they feel good, and it'll be really interesting. The Giants, when I look at the Giant game, the Giant defense has to dominate the Carolina offense, which they should. And if they do that, the Giants will win.
All right. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, I'm still here. So I know you love offenses and breaking down offenses. This is something I wanted to ask you. So I know you don't like firing coaches, but, you know, film and how things work is the Phil Simms type of thing. Tell me why the Detroit Lions offense is so good and why it could be good enough to actually get to a Super Bowl this year and possibly win it.
Oh, wow. Well, it's really easy. I mean, they line up and they got one thing that's the best in the NFL every single week. It's their offensive line. And I do, Gio, I talk about this every year. Look at the playoffs when they come around and who's in it. And if you had to rank offensive lines from 1 to 32, the top 10 are going to be in the playoffs. And the Detroit Lions, definitely, when you look at them, they have the best offensive line. So there's nothing that, you know, Ben Johnson designs. He doesn't have to worry. Well, okay, we're going to do this and this and all these other things, and it's going to work because of our offensive line is so good. Protecting the quarterback, running the football, great design in what they do. And the quarterback, let's be honest, he's not playing good or well. He's playing great. Mm. Oh, my God. And I wondered if he would throw the ball well enough up in Green Bay with the rain, and I'm watching the game, I'm going, damn, it's coming out of his hand great. And finally I see a shot of him close enough, and he was wearing gloves, which was a really smart thing, and I actually talked about that last week. Jared Goff is playing as good as any quarterback in the NFL, maybe better. There's a couple others, a couple really hot quarterbacks that are just getting it done. And go to this, talking about acquiring players. They go out and get Deontay Johnson. They're trying to add on to their best unit on the football team.
For the Ravens.
Instead of trying to spread it out, just...
Right. Yeah, for the Ravens.
Yeah, for the Ravens.
Yeah.
We drafted Carl Banks when we had an outstanding group of linebackers. I said, why did we draft another linebacker? Well, we know the answer now, because he was really good, almost as good as Lawrence Taylor a lot of times, and it changed our football team. And Tom Coughlin did it, too, with his great defensive line. Remember, they drafted a kid out of Boston, Matthias Kiwanuka, and he was really an impact player. And they drafted him to the strongest group on the football team, and that was their defensive line.
You know, so final question for me, and this I was going to ask you about coaches. Three potential head coaching candidates out there for the hiring cycle, and some of these teams, you know, maybe the Jets, maybe the Saints, maybe the Raiders, maybe the Browns, who knows, will start interviewing or looking at guys right around Thanksgiving, I would think. Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, put it in that order. What order would you put it in if you were going to hire one of those guys?
Oh, you know, I'm not going to do this.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, listen, well, one, with Bill Belichick, we have great stuff to look into that we know about him. And I think I was hearing, did I hear that a little bit about Chad Ochocinco saying that he would just say things to Tom Brady and all the players would go, oh my God, he's picking on Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah, but that was actually one of Tom Brady's former teammates explaining exactly how Bill was yelling at Tom Brady. And I said, you and I both know that Tom Brady has told us both that you would think that he never did anything around New England the way he got treated.
Yeah, every once in a while, and I'm telling the truth here, he would come into the meeting and he'd sit down and he'd look at me and goes, you know, am I the worst quarterback in the NFL? And I just go, no. He goes, well, they act like I am around here. Rah, rah, you know, and I just go, wow. I just want to go, Tom, you're Tom Brady, man. You know, I don't know what to say. What do you say to that? You know, so I know he was taking a beating in the meeting room. And, you know, sometimes maybe it could have been too much. But sometimes, as you know and I know, they're going to talk through the quarterback to talk to the team. And once they yell at the quarterback, then that opens it up. I can yell at anybody, except maybe Lawrence Taylor. So, you know. But that's what that's about, and I forgot your question.
Well, I was just saying the coaches, like, you know, Coach Vrabel, Coach Belichick, and then, of course, Ben Carson, the offense coordinator for the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I would think just looking at it, the person that I think will really get great scrutiny and a lot of people want, he turned down jobs this offseason, is Ben Johnson. Because we all look at it as a quarterback league. And there's very few defenses that you can just count on in the NFL right now and go, we could win the Super Bowl because of our defense. And, you know, of course, the first one that comes to my mind is that team out in Kansas City. Their defense can come through in big spots. And when they don't, then we got the guy that can clean it up for us if we make a little mess.
One thing Ben Johnson has, he's got skill players out the wazoo there, too. I mean, they got a great running game. They got a terrific tight end, wide receivers, and the quarterback's playing great because of the offensive line. I mean, their offense is basically as good as anybody in the NFL right there with Baltimore.
If there's, you know, yes, it is. And Ben Johnson not only has these really good players, a really good offensive line, but as you watch him, you go, damn, that's clever. Oh, it's not always, we're not just running over people. They just have so many plays, you just go, well, everybody in the league is going to copy that. It might take them 5 or 6 weeks before they catch on, but they're going to get it. And, you know, that's what I you know, we talk about offense constantly. It is what the NFL is kind of about. And that's why I think Ben Johnson is going to be such a big issue this offseason. And it'll come down to this. I don't think he wanted to leave Detroit last year. Probably didn't like what some of the teams were saying to him. Maybe the money wasn't good enough. So he did the right thing going back to Detroit.
All right, Phil, listen closely here. I got one more German phrase.
Good, I want to hear it. Right, oh, shoot.
Here we go.
Wilde Blaubeeren, oh mein Gott.
Did you hear that?
I heard it. Wilde what did it say?
Oh mein Gott.
All right, one more time.
Wilde Blaubeeren, oh mein Gott. Wilde Blaubeeren, oh mein Gott.
Okay, what is it?
It's wild blueberries, oh my gosh.
You're such a... You know what? I tell you, you're a pain in my ass, I'll tell you that. So,
that's great. Oh my gosh!
Hey, Gio.
Yeah.
Gio, I took 2 years of French in high school. Okay? And when I got done with those 2 years, I don't think I knew two words in French, you know, French. So it's just, it's not up me. I'm not going to try to say any German slang, and I'm sure as hell not going to say what you do. What was that? Say it again.
It's wild blueberry on mein Gott.
Here you go.
Wild
blueberry
oh mein Gott.
Oh my God.
Wilde Blaubeeren, oh mein Gott.
Wild blueberries, oh my God.
Very good, Phil. Great talking to you,
man. All right, send it to me. Maybe I'll try that on some people over there in Germany, see what they say.
All right, perfect.
Have a good trip, right, man. Be safe. See, we'll talk to you when you get back.
Okay, thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
That's the
Sacre Bleu. Sacre Bleu.
Sim Spotlight brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole God. Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. All right, so we heard a little bit of Brian Cashman with Jerry Recko's update, last update, and you know this is something that we have talked about ever since we have done the show together.
Brian Cashman sucks.
Back in back at the 2018 is of all the off seasons in pro sports, the worst is the baseball off season.
Oh God, yes,
and it is mind numbing. It is like pulling teeth. So you've got a lot of reasons why. And think about the difference right now between NFL free agency and baseball free agency. And a lot of this, and even NBA free agency, by the way.
Well, they have tampering periods for the NFL.
Right, which is essentially them opening up free agency. Like, yes. It's like they call that, but it's really the beginning of free agency. And I think when we talk about popularity of sports today, I think the offseason and keeping the news cycle churning is another big reason why baseball has fallen back a little bit. Because when that tampering period starts in the NFL, it's bang, 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 players flying around going crazy. NBA, July 1st, bang, 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 Woj bomb, Shams, bah. Baseball, it's like Brian Cashman, GM meeting, free agency starts. And then you wait and you wait. And then you get guys like Bob Nightingale, who don't know his ass from his elbow, putting stuff out there. John Heyman saying stuff like Arson Judge appears to go to San Francisco. Jeff Passan is the best of the bunch. And he kind of came out of this thing with ESPN and the machine that they have has become a good insider. But some of these other guys, it's an atrocity. And because things move so slow in baseball, these insiders and these columnists have pressure on them because the baseball offseason and not as much is going on that they got to put stuff out there. So any little morsel of anything gets thrown out there that is not even halfway true.
You know what? I think what happens is these guys end up talking to the agents. Because I don't think the GMs really, they'll talk to them, but I don't think they're going to give them really any insight as to how much they're willing to go. And I think the agents use these insiders to move the needle one way or the other.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And I think, I don't even know if they recognize that they are being used.
I'm sure they do, but they're also happy to put something out there and know that they got it at least from some sort of source because it's dead. It's the doldrums for weeks.
Well, they have to do it. That's why they get paid, right? That's why they're there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't pay any attention to it. I think if I were David Stearns or Brian Cashman and I wanted either, I'd go to Juan Soto and say, here's what we're willing to give you right now. Do you want it? No, then I would have to turn my attention to other places to make sure that I shored up my team in lieu of losing him. And I do believe there's always going to be that one team is going to be that one team out there, and this is why baseball players love getting the free agency. And maybe in the last couple of years it hasn't been the case as much, but I think there's going to be one team out there that's going to go all in over the top, and he's going to end up signing one.
Yeah, and I still think that, for me, the San Francisco Giants just sound like that team. Now, I know that the Mets and Yankees are going to make big offers. I'm not saying that they're not. I just think that if someone's going to do the really stupid thing because they got to get the player, it would be the Giants. And for the reasons that I discussed, as far as they've got two teams in that division in their own state, no less, that have got big stars, big names, and have made it to the playoffs now consistently, one being a World Series champion and one of their biggest rivals in the LA Dodgers. They missed out on Aaron Judge. They missed out on Carlos Correa and that whole nonsense.
Just so you know,
mm-hmm.
The top tax rate in California for these players is 14.4%.
Right, but that's why when we talked about the Ohtani contract,
you got to defer.
Set the precedent and be able to do that to get guys there, and then they're not really messing with their money too much from a tax standpoint. So now you've got, you know, McCovey Cove, you got the splash hits, you got nothing that's been there with the Giants since, you know, the championship teams. It's been which was a great run by them, but they really have been down since then. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. One Gabe Kapler year, they were really good, but then flamed out in the playoffs at the best regular season record. They need a star. They desperately need a star in that market. So it's that would be the team I could see going crazy. I do think that there's a limit, like with Steve Cohen. I really don't think he's going to, as competitive as he is, I also think he looks at this team this past year and goes, well, maybe I don't need to pay a guy $720 million to get to where I need to go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, and maybe I'm thinking Steve Cohen's like, this is great. We got to the NLCS. I didn't even, you know, bring in a player of that caliber this past offseason. We kind of did the bargain basement thing, and it worked. And now I'm going to go out and get this $720 million player, and look at us. We're going to go win the World Series.
But they still had their infrastructure. They had their starting catcher, starting shortstop, starting second baseman, starting first baseman. They had their brand-new rookie third baseman. They had their center fielder. They had their left fielder and their right fielder. I mean, they had all those players who were here last year.
Yeah.
You know, so they had good players that, you know, just... The big problem for them last year was, you know, their starting pitching was a disaster. And they ended up catching lightning in a bottle, as they say, with their starting pitching this year.
Let's go to, Anthony in Belleville. What's going on, Anthony?
Over at G-O-O, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Anthony. What's happening, my brother?
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to Donald Trump. And I'd like to say one thing to Brian Cashman there.
Yes.
Make the Yankees great again. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
How about finding some baseball players that could actually play baseball?
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, the Boomer and Geo Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN. Make no mistake about it, Boomer is really, really interested in how these picks go over the weekend. It was the first thing that he said to me on Monday morning. He goes, I think I had a 4-1 week. He has had enough of being the caboose of us. He has not won in many years. It was Youssef and Jerry and me, and Boomer's had enough. He's had enough, and he's letting you know.
I have enough right now. Just shut up.
So Boomer's 19-26 on the season, still 7 games under 500, but he is gaining on me slightly, 2 games behind at 21-24. He did have that 4-1 week. I had a 3-2 week. Jerry with a 2-3 week. Jerry 5 games behind, 13 games under 500, 16-29. So one of us will get there. But it does, just to let everybody know, it means more to Boomer than it does to Jerry and me, because he has been shut out. He's been iced out for many years in winning these picks.
It's a long time.
It really is. It's much like the Jets not making the playoffs now. It's become a joke amongst us.
I will say this about what you're alluding to, is that once the season's over, I don't even think about it. So I don't know what I don't know whether or not you're accurate in what you're saying, how emphatic you're saying.
No, you remember winning. No one likes winning more than you.
And being right. Yeah. I mean, he loves being right. Like, that being right is your oxygen these days.
Well,
like,
without it, you would not be able to survive. Right. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, but I
want to make
sure
that I give out accurate information and good, solid opinions.
Yeah, picking games. You know, everybody's bad at picking games. Some people good year, some people bad year. You know, pick games.
I know. I've been doing it for years, yeah.
Toss up. Badly. Yes, we know. We have beaten you the last number of years.
Jerry comes back this year and gets ahead of you. That's going to be a real embarrassing thing. It's going to be like the Bengals coming back and making the playoffs, slamming on top of you. Jerry's the Bengals.
I'm the Bengals.
Jerry's the Bengals, and you're the Ravens right now. And I'm just sitting here as the Kansas City Chiefs, just licking my Lombardis.
All right, Jerry, let's see what we got here.
All right, here we go. Five games. Game number one, the Denver Broncos in Kansas City. The Chiefs favored by 7.5 points.
You know, divisional game, Denver coming off of an ass-kicking from at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens. Kansas City, Monday, they played with it, one of the primetime games this week, and yeah, they were good, and DeAndre Hopkins has been a great ad. I think they're going to keep it close. I think Kansas City will win. They'll stay undefeated, but I'm going to take Denver in the 7.5 points.
Yeah, the half is really the thing that brings you in, really wants you to take the Denver Broncos, and I think I'm going to be a sucker and do that. I think that half point has sucked me in. And I also do believe a lot of the things that you said about the Broncos getting blown out. Sean Payton's going to be on their ass the entire week, division game, the whole deal. And by the way, we know, we've seen it many times, Chiefs, big spreads, home, don't tend to cover a lot of those games. So I will also take the Denver Broncos.
Can't do it. I took the Broncos last week. I got sucked in, and they sucked. So I will take the Chiefs minus the 7.5. Game number two, the Steelers, still leading that AFC North, taking on the Commanders, who are leading the NFC East. The Commanders favored by 2.5 points.
Yeah, it's pretty gutsy that Jaden Daniels is a home favorite here against the 34 defense of the Steelers that will give them trouble. I don't care what anybody says. You know, they do have the speed to be able to track him down, get a few sacks in this game, maybe a fumble or two. I just like the Steeler defense. I like the way that they play. And, you know, I like the fact that Mike Williams now joins George Pickens, because the one thing that Russell Wilson likes to do, he likes to throw it up and down the sideline. It's one of the things that Mike Tomlin wanted to get out of him. They wanted to get more of their passing game. I'm going to take the Steelers here and the points on the road at Washington.
Now I'm going to take the Commanders because of what happened in that Bears game where Jaden Daniels and that offense was shut down. He was a little bit banged up, but that was right after he had his chest injury. And still, somehow, in that game, didn't have a bad throw, didn't take a bunch of sacks against a good defense, and then still won the game with a miracle Hail Mary. I mean, this guy just wins these games. And the biggest thing for me is not even the talent that he shows, which is so impressive. It's the inability to make massive mistakes. We'll see if he could do it here against another very good defense. Love Jaden Daniels. I'm taking the Commanders.
I know the Giants don't have much of a home field advantage these days, but I was very impressed with the clutch throws and plays he made last week when they could have been in a little trouble. I will take the Commanders minus 2.5 as well. Game number three, Dan Campbell's Lions going to Houston against the Texans. The Texans at home getting 3.5.
Yeah, coming off that Thursday night loss at the hand of the Jets. You know, I'm not sure about the total health of their offensive line, which was a huge problem in that Thursday night game as the Jets were all over C.J. Stroud. Detroit has got one of the best offenses in football. They are a balanced football team, even without Aiden Hutchinson. They love the blitz. C.J. Stroud is getting hit way too much this year. I'm going to lay the 3.5 points here, and I'm going to take the Lions on the road.
I always pick against the Lions. It's like one of the things I like to do, and I've been getting burned like crazy, and I really was unimpressed by them against the Jets. So this is one of those things where everything is leaning towards me taking the Lions in this game, which is why I'm going to take the Texans. And that's really the only logic that I have here, is that many times when I say everything is lining up with one particular way a game is going to go, it always goes the opposite way. So once again, I will pick against the Detroit Lions, see if they burn me, and the Texans are probably the best. And they got to lose at some point here, the Lions, for God's sakes, and beating the brakes off of everybody.
They have lost already once.
Yeah, I mean, they got to lose again. So maybe this is the time. Give me the Texans.
I say no. I say the Lions will win this game, and they will cover the number. I will take the Lions minus the 3.5. All right, we get to the local teams.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. in Germany.
We've got the Giants and the Panthers. The Giants are a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and the Giants are going against the worst defense in football, and that is the Carolina Panthers. They give up a ton of points, a ton of yards. You should be able to run on them. You should be able to throw on them. I think Malik Nabers has a huge game here. I'm going to lay the 6.5 points. I'm taking the Giants. I expect them to win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, you know what? I'm seeing a 34-10 Giants victory.
Wow.
I really am. You know, in some of these miserable seasons, you have those games that you can go back, you feel good as a fan. And if you're one of the guys who wants to see them lose because of a draft pick, yeah, it hurts. But I don't know. There's going to be a pick six in this game. There's going to be a lot of celebration. Phil's going to be there. It's just, it's a giant. This will be a Giants day in Germany. I don't think it's close. You have 34-10.
Bryce Young's going to get smothered this week.
Yeah. So 34-10, taking the Giants.
You guys aren't believing in Chuba Hubbard and his extension this week?
Good for him, but, you know, but the Shadina Schnitzel for the Giants is going to come in handy for them as their pregame meal.
I've taken the Giants all year. I can't not today. If you guys are, I'll take the Giants as well. All right, game number five. The Jets and the Cardinals in Arizona, 425. Cardinals playing well. Jets off the win over Houston. The Jets -1.5. The Jets are -1.5. I got that right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I've been fluctuating on this thing.
It opened the other way, and now it's Jets -1.5.
Right, so when I basically, at the beginning of the week, I was thinking Cardinals. Now, all of a sudden, I'm thinking Jets. And the reason for that is the Cardinals tend to get behind in these games. And what the Jets need is they need a little bit of that confidence that they got in the second half against Houston on Thursday night. They have the better players. They have the better defense. And I got to believe that the Jets are going to come away with the victory here. You know, I'll lay the points now, and I will take the Jets over the Cardinals in the desert.
I want to thank Hans from the NFL for providing us with many things, and one of those things that he did for us was we got a NFL Plus ability to go on NFL Plus, and I watched film. I actually watched some film this week.
The tape.
I went back and watched the tape. I wanted to see if this Cardinals offense looked a little fugazi or what they were all about. I wasn't very impressed, but I was impressed enough to take them in this game, because the Jets have been a total dysfunction bus from the second that we kicked off the season. You're telling me that they're going to get their crap together and go on the road in a must-win game and actually do this? No, I cannot pick them until I see it. So give me the card.
I'm in line with you. And plus, Al told me from his stat pack today that Aaron Rodgers historically has not done well in Arizona.
Mm.
I will take the Cardinals.
Mm.
They threw a huge Hail Mary in Arizona. You don't remember that?
It's a desperate play.
He was down.
They're desperate right now, Al. Al, you said that the Jets have pulled you back in.
They have. But this Steve Cervi article had all these things about Aaron Rodgers in Arizona. I was like, that's not good.
Boomer and Geo Friday Football Picks brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com